afternoon, good afternoon. Well, who is the person that always says that every afternoon? It's the one and only interviewer of celebrities and other interesting individuals, Mr. Scott Spears. But as you probably know, I'm not Scott Spears. I'm a lot older than Scott, a lot better looking. My name is Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. Good afternoon. However many times you want to say it, wherever, where you are in the great world we live in, so glad to have you with us. And you might ask, well, why am I on instead of Scott? You know, Scott's like me. He likes to do his own show, and he does it very, very well. Well, Scott, along with my other fellow radio station managers, the very crafty Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, and of course Scott himself, are in New York City, the Big Apple, Manhattan, Midtown, and they just attended a taping of the television talk show The View, and they're going to report to me about what happened on the show, what is happening in New York City, and any other shenanigans they'd like to relate to our listening audience. Stay tuned, that should be coming up very soon. Until then, I am here with you live in the studio. Want to thank Charles Evers, we just call him Charlie, for bringing along Dave and Janine, wildlife experts extraordinaire, discussing about the beautiful wildlife here in the great Buckeye State. Charlie with the adventures of his bats and snakes in his domicile and whatever else. Hope you enjoyed that show as much as I did. That show as well as pretty much every show that we broadcast since early January of last year is available in archives on our website at wwgh1071.com. If you go to that website, which of course is produced, hosted, maintained, programmed, etc. by yours truly, that's right, me. Yes, Adam. That's me last time I checked. Anyway, if you go to that website, you can go ahead and download, listen on demand to pretty much every show we broadcast in the last 16 months or so, as well as find out about me and Scott and Sean and Charlie and all of our great hosts and hostesses that we proudly bring you here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. You can also get links to wrestling and other exciting things that are going on around town. And last but not least, you can click on the links to email us. Charlie, me, Sean, Terry, Scott, all available. First name at WWGH1071.com. If you're a Facebook friend of mine, if you're not, please request my friendship by looking for Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. I am broadcasting a live video as I hang out here in the studio, awaiting for correspondence from Scott, Terry, Sean, and all of our other great friends. Don't mind the fact that I have headphone hair. I look absolutely horrendous, but that's okay. That's part of the fun of radio. You don't really have to look gorgeous, and I can assure you today, I look anything but gorgeous, but that happens. I guess it just adds to the fun of being on the air. Current time here at the studio, and a slightly cloudy but not a bad spring day here in Marion on East Center Street, 12:18 in the p.m., and that's 11:18 in the a.m. for our friends in Chicago and other central time zone locales. I would invite you to call me. I'd love to hear from you. We can talk about anything. Consider this to be lunchtime coffee break with Adam until we hear from my fellow radio personnel. Telephone number here at the studio is 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Pick a topic, even topics normally not discussed on daytime radio like politics and religion. That's fine. Let's talk about it. I'd love to hear your opinion. We'd love to debate. That's always part of the fun. Of course, weather. I see a famous weatherman is watching my video. Hello, famous weatherman. Thank you so much for watching. You've been a favorite of mine, pretty much an idol of mine for a long, long time. And thank you so much for your Facebook friendship as well as for watching the video. Also like to thank Harry from Columbus for watching my video. Harry, why don't you call the show? I know you love to talk about almost anything, and you're a man of very erudite and articulate opinions. pick up the phone and call me. I don't bite. 740-383-9944. I know I look horrible, but that's headphone hair for you, plus the weather outside. It's kind of windy and rainy, but that happens sometimes. We could also discuss some of the interesting news stories around, maybe the latest airline fiascos from United and some other carriers. We can discuss the change of the seasons. What do you think about spring morphing into summer? And last but not least, as I've mentioned a couple times, in exactly 1 week, I will be 1 year older than I am now. It is my birthday. And if you'd like to send me a birthday present, our address here at the station is 559 East Center Street, Basement Office, Marion, Ohio, 43302. I accept gift cards from restaurants, from Walmart, from other stores. Of course, any kind of food is appreciated. Health and beauty products are great. And of course, cash, money orders, traveler's checks, prepaid gift cards, always welcome. Not to mention gift cards from Speedway and other gasoline establishments. Current time, 20 minutes after 12 in the p.m. in historic Marion, Ohio. WWGH Radio, the talking place. Adam Lepp here, manning the studios, or should we say personing the studios. Well, whatever I'm doing, I'm human beinging. That's hard to say. I'm human beinging the controls here at WWGH as we await to hear from Scott, Sean, Terry about their adventures in New York City, about their being in the audience for The View, which they attended earlier today in the Big Apple. An additional news story for you. We do cover the news, regional and local, at the top of every hour. With Scott in New York City, I am doing the newscasts. A Marion man was killed in a one-vehicle crash Tuesday evening in Morrow County, according to reports from the Ohio Highway Patrol. Tony Fraley, age 29, of Marion, was driving on Ohio 746 at 7:45 p.m. Tuesday when his 1994 Ford pickup drove off the left side of the road and struck a tree. The crash occurred in Westfield Township in Morrow County, west of U.S. 42, according to troopers from the Mount Gilead Post. The township is between Cardington and Waldo. Mr. Fraley was transported to Morrow County Hospital in Mount Gilead, where he passed away because of the injuries. He was wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash. The Highway Patrol was assisted at the scene by the Cardington Fire Department, Elm Valley Fire Department, Morrow County EMS, and Delaware County EMS. The Mount Gilead Patrol of the Ohio Highway Patrol is currently investigating this accident. Adam Lepp here in the studio at WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial as we await live reports from Scott, Sean, and Terry about their adventures in New York City. Of course, you can call the studio. I'd love to hear from you. We can talk about almost any topic. This is kind of like an extension of the new Tuesday temporary show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break and with Adam. I'd like to thank Carol. She's in the real estate business. She watches my video quite a bit, and I really appreciate it. A very lovely lady from the east side of Columbus, and she says that I remind her of Click and Clack, Tom and Ray Maliozzi on Saturdays. Fun to watch. Except they know a lot more about cars than I do. I'm very good at driving cars. In fact, I actually changed. Check this out, folks, because, you know, a lot of these new cars, it can be surgery changing anything other than putting in gas in the car. It could be a minor surgical procedure. I actually went to Walmart and purchased a bulb for my driver's side low beam headlight. Now, of course, on previous cars that I've had, thankfully, I wouldn't call myself skinny, but I'm not a huge person, so the reason I mention that is you have to kind of stick your arm under the in the hood there of the car. And if your arms aren't on the thin side, that can be kind of tricky, but my arms are thin enough that I can usually get them in the area near the engine where you have to stick your hand in and, you know, unscrew the previous light bulb, the one that burnt out. So I had not done this on my cars. It's fairly new. So I went ahead and looked at instructions on the internet, looked at the owner's manual. I'll tell you, the owner's manual for Chevrolets is very, very good. So I went ahead and did that. unscrewed the necessary fixtures, changed the lamp, and voila, mission accomplished. Didn't take more than about 10 minutes. It actually took me longer to change the air filter on my car. That was a bit of microsurgery. Plus, you need a Torx 25, like a screwdriver, they call it. It's like a screwdriver, and a hex key, I guess. And I have one of those, so because I use those on computers sometimes. So sometimes the tools used by an auto mechanic, or at least a backyard mechanic and a computer tech, are almost the same thing. So bottom line is I got the headlamp replaced. Wasn't too complicated. Wasn't messy or dirty or yucky at all. But I do say it probably took about half as long as replacing the air filter. So some interesting stuff for you. I do thank General Motors for making that a fairly easy job. I could certainly think of a lot worse things I could have to do with my automobile. So, a little side note for you as we await correspondence from Scott, Terry, and Sean on Now with Scott Spears. Adam Lepier substituting for Scott because, no, I'm not Scott. But hopefully, you don't mind the substitute hosting situation. Feel free to call me. I'd love to hear what you have to say. We can talk about anything. Talk about car repairs. Even controversial topics, again, religion, politics, that's fine. Sports, the weather, the beautiful wildlife that's around us here in Ohio. And, of course, any interesting and quirky current events are fine, too. We had an unfortunate accident of some young kayakers, and I think discussing safety when swimming or boating is very important as we are entering a big holiday weekend and people doing a lot of swimming and boating and water sports. Water-based recreation, that's what I wanted to say. And if you are someone, maybe a lifeguard, a police officer, experienced swimmer or boater, you'd like to share with us some tips on safe usage of our great waterways, that would be wonderful because it's unfortunate to hear about that accident. And let's try to prevent any future accidents from occurring. 740-383-9944. So, let's go ahead and take a look at some news stories from around the world. So there is this car sales individual. Let's say individual because it's not really a traditional car salesperson. In fact, it's not even a person. Bruce Griffin. Now, Bruce Griffin is a canine, and a canine who is in the car sales business. Now, her real name is Gilda. She is the star of a hit YouTube video this week, which shows her peddling cars for the imaginary Bruce Griffin's Motor World. "Our prices are dangerously low because I can't read," Bruce Griffin boasts. That's pretty hard to say. Bruce Griffin boasts, but I think I got it, while posing in a used car lot. "Should a dog be selling cars? Probably not. Come get yours today before the government catches wind of this and shuts us down." Bruce's owner, a woman named Steph, who also has a second Brussels Griffin named Griff, said that inspiration for this commercial, filmed last week, came after she purchased the child-sized suit for her little breadwinner from a thrift store. She said, "I buy them outfits sometimes because it's hilarious and great for the pictures. It was only $4 and had already paid for itself in laughs before I even got home." After putting the suit on the dog, which Steph said her dog, quote, actually really liked, she said she could not shake off her dog's resemblance to a car salesman. As for the name, Bruce Griffin, she called it, quote, "just the slimy car salesman name that I used." My apologies to any car salespeople that are listening because that really wasn't very nice. I actually have had very good experiences with car salesmen and car saleswomen. I think that they do operate in an ethical fashion, try to find the best car for you, the best financing. And, you know, I like to tell jokes about certain occupations as much as anybody, but I really don't think that the car sales business is what a lot of people say it is. I think 99% of car salespeople are honest and helpful. They earn their commission. They work very hard. It's not. I've even tried selling cars. It's not easy work, believe me. And a lot of customers are not really ready to buy a car anyway. But for those who are, they provide good service, and I feel it's a very honorable line of work. But let's compare that to politicians. 99% of them are honorable. That would be very, 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 very generous, to put it mildly. Anyway, because they say it's the suit that makes the man. Other videos posted on Instagram show Gilda posing as a serious chair-swiveling attorney with the Law and Order theme song playing in the background. So we like to cover some interesting news stories here on this very temporary show, because it really is just going to air for today. And it's called Afternoon or Lunchtime Coffee Break with Adam, not to be confused with the Tuesday show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, which is aired between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 a.m. And we're doing this show because Scott, Terry, and Sean are in New York City in Midtown Manhattan, taking this in the sights and sounds and scenery of that great city, talking with celebrities, hopefully Phil Donahue today, maybe even Dick Cavett. And earlier today, between about 11 o'clock and 12, they attended a live taping of the famous talk show The View. Current time, exactly 12:30 in the p.m. on a slightly cloudy but otherwise very pleasant spring day in late May, as we approach Memorial Day weekend in Marion, Ohio. Of course, this station broadcasts all over the great world that we live in via the magic and power of the internet. If you go to our website, which is at WWGH1071.com, you can listen to our show. Listen to our shows in live in real time. That's what I wanted to say. Listen to and download archives of pretty much every show we broadcast since early January of last year. Find out about me and Charlie and Scott and all of our fine hosts and hostesses. And of course, you can always send me an email, because I'm the person who's in charge of our very famous private email server. Let me know what you think about our private email server, about the website, about the station, about almost anything you like. Adam at WWGH1071.com. So, Scott, the normal host of this show, which is usually called Now with Scott Spears, but today it's called Lunchtime Coffee Break with Adam. He is about 600 miles to the east in NYC. He'll be calling in very soon. Let's go several states to the west, to Montana. Beautiful state. Anyway, Montana will vote very shortly to fill the United States House seat vacated in March by now Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. So why is that important? Well, Democrat Rob Quist, a populist, progressive, cowboy poet, known for his career as a bluegrass singer, supports single-payer health care, as well as legalizing marijuana and funding more arts programs in schools. Republican Greg Gianforte, a technology entrepreneur who moved to Montana 22 years ago, is a hard-line social conservative who backs the deeply unpopular Republican bill to replace Obamacare and wants to turn over control of public lands to the state. Now, Gianforte, who narrowly lost a bid for governor last year, is favored to win the seat that Zinke handily won re-election to last November. But Gianforte's own strategists describe him as, quote, basically an unpopular incumbent trying to get re-elected. The race for the state's only House seat will likely be close. Gianforte had a 6-point lead over Quist in a poll released this month by a Democratic Political Action Committee. But internal GOP polling has shifted against Gianforte amid proliferating scandals coming from the White House. And that comes from conservative blogger and radio host Eric Erickson. That's a good name. Eric Erickson. That's kind of like if my name was Adam Adamson or Adam Adams. I think Adam Lepp is a little bit easier because Adam Adamson can be kind of hard to say. Plus, my dad's name is Mike, so I guess I could be Adam Mike's son. Anyway, just a sidelight for you. This election took, in Montana, we're talking about, took an unexpected turn yesterday when Guardian reporter Ben Jacobs accused Mr. Gianforte of body slamming him in audio that was released by Guardian reporter Ben Jacobs. The reporter asked Gianforte how he felt about the Republican health care bill in light of the analysis of the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office that came out earlier in the day. Now, Gianforte had previously claimed that he would have voted against it because without an updated report, he lacked the, quote, data to assess its merits. The audio then cuts to the sound of a scuffle. Gianforte says, "I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the, I'm not going to say this word, but it rhymes with smell, out of here." Jacobs said, "Something else I'm not going to say on the air. You just body slammed me and broke my glasses. Get the, it rhymes with smell, out of here," he says. And then Jacobs says, "If you'd like me to get the, out of here, I'd also like to call the police." How about that? Gianforte's campaign blamed Jacobs for the altercation, saying the reporter had pushed a phone into his face. Jacobs grabbed Greg's wrist and spun away from Greg, pushing them both to the ground, according to campaign spokesman Shane Scanlon. He said it's unfortunate that this aggressive behavior from a liberal journalist created this scene. Gianforte was reportedly set to be interviewed by Fox News reporter Alicia Acuna when Jacobs interrupted. In a written account of what she witnessed, Acuna said Gianforte manhandled Jacobs, even though Jacobs did not, quote, show any form of physical aggression toward Gianforte. At that point, Gianforte grabbed Jacobs by the neck with both hands and slammed him into the ground behind him. She wrote that said that the TV crew, quote, watched in belief as Gianforte then began punching the man. As he moved on top, the reporter began yelling something to the effect of, quote, "I'm sick and tired of this." So, some rather, some very violent campaigning there to the west of us in Montana. I guess being a politician can be a slightly dangerous job. Certainly as controversial, isn't always very well paying, but now can be a bit physically dangerous. Let me know what you think about that. I always enjoy hearing about people's comments, questions, suggestions, disgust, or what have you. Telephone number here at the studio is 740-383-9944. Adam Lepp here, substituting for the very famous Scott Spears. The show is usually called Now, and of course it is in fact on now, but Scott, along with Terry and the very crafty one, Sean Kraft, are in the Big Apple in NYC. We're expecting to hear an update from them via telephone or some other communications method about their adventures, their shenanigans in the Big Apple. They attended a live taping of The View earlier today. They'll be talking about that and more than likely speaking with Phil Donahue and possibly Dick Cavett and possibly some other important people as they visit sights and sounds and people in New York City. I'm taking your phone calls. You know, it's kind of lonely here in the studio. Charlie left after his show was over, as did the wildlife experts, and I'm here by myself. I'd love to hear from you. Please give me a call. We can talk about almost anything. Again, even controversial topics like religion are fine on this show. Love to talk about it. As you know, I'm not one to shy away from providing an opinion, so if you'd like to hear my opinion on something, feel free to ask me, 383-9944. I can assure you that I don't bite, at least not too hard. Let's see, what else can we talk about here? Do you think we've talked enough about the Donald? I call him the Prezi-Donald. Well, I would say probably not. He is the President of the United States of America, and whatever he does affects not only the United States, but pretty much everything going on in the world. Reporter Seth Meyers yesterday ripped Donald Trump's proposed budget for cutting the very programs that the president promised his supporters he would protect during the election campaign. Now, Seth Meyers, again the host of Late Night, said the budget lays bare just how much of a fraud Trump's campaign was. It goes back on virtually everything he promised to the people who voted for him. Seth Meyers then played clip after clip of then-candidate Trump telling voters how he would not cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid if he were elected. He said Donald Trump, the candidate, would hate Donald Trump, the president. It's a shame those two never met. I gotta be honest. I think those two would hate each other. And before he said hate each other, he used a word that rhymes with trucking that we don't say on the air. So he's not a very happy camper, is he? If you'd like to discuss that, do you think that Donald Trump, the president, and Donald Trump, the candidate, Donald Trump, the entrepreneur, Donald Trump, the real estate mogul, and Donald Trump, the reality show host, are they really four or five different people? I would say they probably are, but obviously whenever anybody does get into a public office, he or she is going to act differently, as the realities of being the president and running for president are really very much the same, a different thing. That's what I wanted to say. Last time we had a TV star as president, Ronald Reagan. Certainly Reagan, the president, the candidate, and the actor. I mean, there were certainly similarities. I mean, the sense of humor was there. I mean, Reagan was a very funny guy. I didn't agree with everything that he stood for, but I think in general, the good outweighed the bad. Again, his image was wonderful, and he was a very humorous person and very, very well spoken. But obviously, in Reagan's case, certainly one of the most popular presidents in my lifetime, if not since the beginning of U.S. history, Reagan as an actor, candidate, and president, as well as previously president of the Screen Actors Guild, I believe, those are people that did differ a bit, and that's going to happen. And again, the reality of being in politics versus the what you deal with when you run for office, you can definitely find that to be an eye-opener or two. Just a little food for thought there for you. Feel free to call. Let me know what you think. Love to hear from you. Anything and everything is available to be discussed on this show. This is a one-time show called Lunchtime Coffee Break with Adam, substituting for the usual show, which is called Now with Scott Spears, as Scott, Terry, and Sean are in New York City, getting ready to interact with me and all of our listeners about their adventures and misadventures in New York City. In addition, they attended a live taping of The View earlier today, and no doubt they'll be discussing that also. So, what else is going on in the news? Donald Trump, have we discussed Donald Trump enough today? Well, I don't think so. He's the president, and he certainly is one of our most amusing presidents, and so it's hard not to discuss the guy when you look over world events as well as offbeat news. President Trump met with France's newly elected president, Emmanuel Macron. I think I'm pronouncing that right. See, I took German. I know a little bit of Spanish. I don't really speak much French. I find French actually is a pretty hard language, but I believe that the proper pronunciation would be Macron. Or anyway, Donald Trump met with France's newly elected president, Emmanuel Macron, earlier today. And again, it is 5:45 in the afternoon in France, so that would have been French time. They met in Brussels, Belgium, ahead of a NATO summit, and it was hard to miss the handshake between the two world leaders, white knuckles and all. Of course, Donald Trump in his hands, Donald Trump and how he interacts with the hands of his lovely wife, Melania. That's been in the news quite a bit. These two presidents, each wearing dark suits and blue ties. Trump's was thick and royal blue. Macron's was skinny and navy, again a dark blue, sat in antique cream-upholstered armchairs with two American and French flags behind them, according to an email by White House reporter Philip Rucker. He works for the Washington Post. They shook hands for an extended period of time. Each president gripped the other's hand with considerable intensity, their knuckles turning white and their jaws clenching and faces tightening. Trump reportedly tried to escape Macron's grip twice, but was not successful. Twitter could tell the French president was ready for the interaction, which is no surprise, considering how the president's handshakes have become a regular point of conversation, mostly perplexed conversations. So, when you're president of the United States of America, pretty much everything you do, everybody you talk to, is going to be subject to analysis. Whether it comes to his wife supposedly swatting his hand away, which that's been viewed 1,001 times by everybody in the world, including myself, about the hands of Trump's compared to the French president's, and pretty much anything else. So, I think one thing that the Donald was surprised by after he entered the White House as president on January 20th of this year, over 4 months ago, is all the scrutiny that you're under when you are president of the United States of America. Of course, here in radio, we get some scrutiny. People like the station, people don't. It doesn't matter. Any opinion at all is welcome. Even if it's not a good opinion, I'd love to hear what you have to say. But I wouldn't say anybody is under the kind of scrutiny as much, even a tenth as much, as a president of the United States of America. Current time here at the studio, 14 minutes before 11 on a one-time show. This is very temporary because this is the only day it's going to be on. And it's called Lunchtime Coffee Break with Adam. And the reason why I'm on instead of Scott is that Scott and Terry and Sean are in New York City looking at the sights and sounds and famous people in that wonderful town. Earlier today, they went to a live taping, live broadcast. Well, of course, it was taped. A live broadcast and taping of The View. And they no doubt will be sharing their views of that show when we talk to them sometime in the next hour or so, maybe less. In the meantime, I'm going to keep you company. And I would like to hear from you. Give me a call. You can talk about almost anything. Telephone number at the studio here is 740-383-9944. You probably know that I host a show called The Adam the Computer Guy Show, because that's what they call me, Adam the Computer Guy, and that's on Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 9:13 a.m. and 10 a.m. During that show, we take your calls, talk about topics of technology. We get geeky, keeping your computer away from prying eyes and ears and servers and goodness sakes, whatever else. And we also discuss current technology news, as well as interspersing my opinions about this news. And I call that News and Views. So what's going on in the world of technology today, you might ask? Because in 2017, technology news and regular news aren't necessarily the same thing, but I think it's important that people are kept aware of what's going on, be it with smartphones or operating systems or infections or what have you. So Facebook, of course, our Facebook page is visited by many people every day. The public got a rare view into how Facebook tries to keep offensive and dangerous content offline in a report published last Sunday. Confidential documents leaked to The Guardian exposed the secret rules by which Facebook polices postings on issues like violence, hate speech, terrorism, pornography, racism, and self-harm, as well as such subjects as sports fixing and cannibalism. After reviewing more than 100 internal training manuals, spreadsheets, and flowcharts, The Guardian found Facebook's moderation policies often puzzling. For example, threats against a head of a state automatically are removed, but threats against other people are untouched unless they're considered, quote, credible. Photos of non-sexual physical abuse and bullying of children do not have to be deleted unless they include a sadistic or celebratory element. Pictures of animal abuse are allowed, although if the abuse is extremely upsetting, they need to be marked, quote, disturbing. Facebook will allow people to live stream attempts to harm themselves because it does not want to censor or punish people in distress. Any Facebook member with more than 100,000 followers is considered a public figure and is given fewer protections than other members. In response to questions from The Guardian, Facebook defended its moderation efforts. Monica Bickert, she is their head of global policy management. She said keeping people on Facebook safe is the most important thing we do. We work hard to make Facebook as safe as possible while enabling free speech. And that comes from Monica Bickert, Facebook's head of global policy management, discussing how they keep off offensive posts. She also said this requires a lot of thought into how detailed and difficult questions we have to address as we decide which posts are allowed and which are not. Again, is it free speech or is it offensive? Is it hate speech? Sometimes that line is not quite as easy to draw as we'd think. As part of its efforts to, quote, get it right, Facebook recently announced it would be adding 3,000 people to its global community operations team over the next year to review the millions of reports of content abuse that Facebook receives on a daily basis. She said, in addition to investing in more people, we are also building better tools to keep our community safe. We're going to make it simpler to report problems to us, faster for our reviewers to determine which posts violate our standards, and easier for them to contact law enforcement if someone needs help. We discussed abusive posts, bullying, and other unfortunate things that people discuss or post on social media many times during my show and during Scott's show called Now, which isn't on now because I'm on instead, but just to let you know that. And of course, we want there to be freedom of speech, but something that's offensive, that's a different matter. Freedom of speech ends where it can hurt somebody, and that's where it becomes something we have to police. And with the ability, all the fast computers and smartphones and everything else floating around, the temptation for a less than scrupulous individual to bully or make hate speech on social media is rather high. And we want to fix that problem before it gets out of hand. However, if something is just freedom of speech, even if it's a negative comment, then that's probably okay. But again, bullying, hate speech, that isn't. And as we're discussing, sometimes drawing that line isn't quite as easy as you might think. Now, Jan Dawson, and Jan Dawson is from Jackdaw Research, in an online post said, it highlights just how challenging policing content on a site like Facebook with its enormous scale is. Moderators have to walk a fine line between censorship and protecting users. It also highlights the tensions between those who want Facebook to do more to police inappropriate and unpleasant content and those who feel it already censors too much. Now, neither the people writing the policies nor those enforcing them have an enviable job. And in the case of the content moderators, that job can be soul-destroying. He said, as we've also seen with regard to live video recently, it's incredibly important and going to be an increasingly expensive area of investment for companies like Facebook and Google. Now, Facebook has shied away from releasing many details about the rules that its moderators use to act on content reported to them. Rebecca McKinnon, director of the Ranking Digital Rights Program at the Open Technology Institute, said, "They say they don't want to publish that type of thing because it enables bad guys to game the system. Nevertheless, there's too little transparency now, which is why this thing was leaked." The Ranking Digital Rights Project assesses the information transparency of companies on a range of policies related to freedom of expression and privacy. It questions companies and seeks information about their rules for content moderation, as well as how they implement these rules, and what volume of content is deleted or restricted. With Facebook, there is no transparency whatsoever. And that comes from, again, Rebecca McKinnon, someone who should know about this, director of the Ranking Digital Rights Program at the Open Technology Institute. She said such a low level of transparency is not serving their users or their company very well. Now, as the amount of content on social media has grown, and you know, in 2017, it's growing exponentially, there has been a clamoring from some corners of the internet for treatment of the sites as publishers. Now, they are treated only as distributors that are not responsible for what their users post on them. Saying companies are liable for everything that their users do is not going to solve the problem. It will probably kill a lot of what's good about social media. Making Facebook a publisher not only would destroy its protected status as a third-party platform, but also might destroy the company. And that comes from Karen North, director of the Annenberg Program on Online Communities at the University of Southern California. She said, "When you make subjective editorial decisions, you're like a newspaper where the content is the responsibility of the management. They could never mount a team big enough to make decisions about everything that's posted on Facebook. It would be the end of Facebook." So, where do you draw the line between free speech and things that should not be said anywhere because they're very offensive, hate speech, for example, or some serious threats? Interesting topic. I'd love to hear your opinion. You can send me an email at adam@wwgh1071.com. Of course, you can leave a message for me on the live video that I'm broadcasting right now. And last but not least, you can go to our Facebook page. Look up WWGH107.1 and leave a comment. Would love to hear from you. Always a good thing. Last hour and the hour before that, Charlie was in with Dave and Janine from the wildlife, they're wildlife experts from the Park District in Marion. Very smart individuals discussing our great wildlife, flora and fauna here in Central and Mid-Ohio. During that broadcast, Charlie mentioned some events coming up in our community. Wanted to reiterate those for you. On June 3rd, which would be Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but the one following, there will be a plant sale benefiting the Marion County Park District for the Friends of the Prairie Parks. Gail Martin with Natives in Harmony Nursery will be at the Marion Tallgrass Trail on Saturday, June 3rd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. with plants available for purchase. More information, www.nativesinharmony.com. And coming up in about 8 weeks, Paleontology in the Park, Saturday, August 19th, 1 to 5:30 p.m. at Tallgrass Trailhead, 2093 Holland Road West. No charge. for kids and adults of all ages. Again, Saturday, August 19th, Paleontology in the Park. That's actually in about, in approximately 12 weeks, if my math is correct. Sorry about that, but it's a really good event. You do want to mark your calendar. Walk the Path to the Past to see how old the Earth is. Have your passport to the past stamped for each activity you complete and receive a free Ordovician fossil over 400 million years old. When you complete four activities, learn about Marion's very own woolly mammoth. Learn about beavers as big as bears. Learn about fossils you can collect in Ohio. That's coming up Saturday, August 19th, 1 to 5:30 p.m. at the Tall Grass Trailhead, 2093 Holland Road West. No charge. It's called Paleontology in the Park. Definitely something to mark your calendar for. Adam Lepp here, closing out the noon hour. Be back, hopefully, live with Scott, Sean, and Terry, coming up right after the 1 o'clock features. So don't touch that dial, as they say. WWGH1071.com or broadcasting the old-fashioned way at 107.1 on your FM dial. News, features, and sponsor messages coming up next. Be back in about 14 minutes. Thank you for listening.